When the Tampa first sailed into Australian waters after rescuing more than 400 Muslim asylum seekers, no one could have predicted the dramatic sea change ahead.
I can't remember one single issue which has more transformed politics than the decision taken by the Howard government late August this year to repel by military means all future boat asylum seekers and boat refugees.
The Tampa was undoubtedly a detonator issue, and it was a detonator issue because the Prime Minister used it intelligently and ruthlessly.
What could have been an international humanitarian issue instead became an Australian security crisis. Public hostility towards the growing numbers of boat people, combined with the fear of extremist Muslims after the terrorist attacks in the United States. It's had a potent electoral effect reminiscent of another international bogey.
The issue of communism right through the 1950s was an incredibly polarising and emotive issue in Australian politics. This issue, likewise, has the ability to drive a wedge into the Labor core constituency, and the anecdotal evidence out of the parties is that traditional Labor voters in working-class electorates are flocking to the Liberals at this election.
Suspicion and hostility also greeted Australia's first illegal boat people from Vietnam in 1977. But there was no national security crisis, even though it was also on the eve of a federal election. Under then Liberal Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser, a series of regional agreements virtually halted the flow. Ultimately, Australia took about 140,000 Indochinese refugees, mostly in an orderly fashion.
There are three central elements in why Australian opinion accepted the very large numbers of Vietnamese refugees and Indochinese refugees. The first was that you had political bipartisanship. Secondly, Australians are much keener when the refugees who have come to Australia are chosen by the government. And thirdly, there was an international effort to solve a problem.
The next wave of boat people in the late 1980s, a few hundred Cambodians, was not so welcome, prompting Bob Hawke's Labor government to build Australia's first detention centres. With widespread job insecurity in the 1990s, popular support for any immigration at all collapsed, while Pauline Hanson's brand of race-based politics took off. By the time the latest wave of asylum seekers began arriving from Iraq and Afghanistan in 1999, political goodwill had evaporated. John Howard's government restricted refugee laws and expanded detention centres.
What, in my view, the government did, in particular Philip Ruddock, the Minister for Immigration, was put out a very hostile anti-refugee or anti-asylum seeker line. He said time and again, they're asylum seekers, they're wealthy, they may have been criminals even in the past. And that line really created a very hostile public opinion in Australia.
Then the Tampa came along.
What John Howard has been able to do with the Tampa issue is to finally take the oxygen out of the One Nation movement by running a tough isolationist approach.
Former Howard speechwriter Christopher Pearson says the Prime Minister was right to respond to general fears about boat people.
Everyone recognises that Hansonite attitudes didn't come out of nowhere. Responsive democratic politicians have to think about what the electorate really wants for the country. It's not a race question so much as a question of culture, and we have good reason to worry about militant Islam.
But no matter who wins on November 10, the problem remains. Towing refugee boats to South Pacific Islands is not a solution. To get a solution, Australia needs help from the region. And the international impact of Australia's tough stance is likely to resonate for some time.
It really has made Australia a slightly different country and isolated us from both Indonesia and also, I think, from international opinion.
Margot O'Neill, Lakeline.